Well, here on Arena, we are anticipating the result of the International Impact Dublin Literary Award 2014 in June, with Kay Sheehy reviewing one of the 10 nominated books each week. We began last week with a review of the first of these listed novels, David Park's The Light of Amsterdam. And tonight, Kay is looking at Maureen and Daya's Three Strong Women, translated from its original French by John Fletcher. Now, Kay, the title of the book is Three Strong Women, but how much of a clue is in the title here for the story?
Well, I think from reading the book that it may be a very ironic title. I think the clearer translation of the French might be three powerful women, and they're neither strong nor powerful. I mean, they are on the outside. Two of the women have come from poverty and have got educated themselves and have become professionals, one a teacher and the other a barrister. And the other woman has a great inner feeling of self-belief. But, you know, everything that happens to her works against that. So mainly they're the victims of very manipulative either men or else just the whole horrible globalized world and the poverty people are stuck in.
And in a sense, there's almost like three novellas here. There are three very strong separate stories with little links, little interconnections.
Yes,
tell
it's more almost,
about the form of it.
Yeah, it's like they have a cameo appearance every now and again from one of the novellas to the other. The first one is the story of Nora. The second one is the story, if we're talking about women, Fanta, but actually she's married to Rudy and Rudy is the central character in it. And the third one is Katie Demba. And they're the three women. And yes, Katie makes an appearance in the first story as a childminder. There's some overlap between the business that Nora's father in the first novel is involved in with the Rudy's father's business in the second. But really, they're separate stories, and it's more a thematic link that they have about what does power mean, what does being disempowered by manipulative people mean.
Well, let's talk a little bit maybe about the author herself and the voice that she sort of conveys and expresses here. Tell us a little bit about Marie Nandaye.
Yeah, I mean, she was born in 1967. She is French, but she was born, her father was Senegalese, who left them, I think, when she was just about one, and her mother is French. So she was brought up in France, but has this knowledge of Senegal and has a very strong, you know, unhappy childhood to fuel her art. And she has been a very successful writer. This novel was one of the finalists for the 2013 Man Booker International Prize. And she's also a respected playwright. And it's her writing style that's really distinctive. I mean, not easy when you start, I think you'd agree, because they're very, very long sentences. And in the second novello, which is about Rudy is like quite psychotic, or he develops into quite a psychotic character. And these big long sentences are there for a reason, because like one sub clause will be Rudy, you know, self-justifying himself, and then the next time he will be saying something brutal about somebody or something completely psychotic, and these sub clauses bounce off each other like Rudy's mind jumps all over the place in this kind of mushy psychosis he's in.
Well, what's really interesting when you describe her biographical details there is how they inform the book and give it great authority.
Yes,
places.
You know the way authors never agree with that. But but at the same time, the first story is very much about a young woman, Nora, who when she was seven and her youngest brother was five, and she also had another sister. Her father, who was from Senegal, he had not very successful job and decided one evening to up and abandoned the family home, abandoned the mother, the two daughters, and took with him the youngest son, leaving them in Paris, in destitution, really. And the son, because he resembled the beautiful features of his French wife, he took the boy child with him. And then when he went to Africa, back to Senegal, it's as though luck came with him, and he got great success in buying this vacation village, and he kept the son in great privilege, went to a private school, had horses, brought the girls over occasionally for a holiday, but really never kept them there for very long, never sent very much money back. And then, in case you didn't think he was as tyrannical as he was, if if the mother said she'd come and visit Sonny, the son, he threatened to cut his throat. So he's a vicious, manipulative man who decided to really disintegrate his family.
But what's interesting is the main female character here, Nora, has had a great journey of self-determination. She's a barrister, self-trained, all that, and yet he still has a grip on her, the father.
Yes, so she comes back to the father, and the father wants... His life has just fallen apart, as his Sonny's. But I don't want to go into the details of that because it's kind of whodunit and it would ruin the story. But because she's a barrister, she is now useful to the father, so he brings her back. So she arrives in the house, she's looking for Sonny, can't find him anywhere. And then she starts to think about her own child, who she's left in the care of this kind of no good man that she's fallen in love with, brought him and his girl child into the house. And now she's sitting there paranoid about what's happening back in Paris, where her children are. Because I think because her life was so out of control, she tried to put the mantlers on her own life by having it completely in control. So when she arrives in Africa, she's completely crazy. But in some ways, when she tries then to tease out the problems of her father and of her son, she kind of finds some kind of calm in herself.
What was interesting at the end of each of the stories was the counterpoint, that little postscript at the end of the three sort of novellas, if we're to call them that. What did you think about that as a device?
I thought in the first one it was good because he gave the father a voice where we had just seen him painted as a monster. And in the last story, I think it's a fantastic image because the last story...
Let's talk about that last story.
It's this horror trip of a young woman who really circumstance, she was married. She was married in a pretty loving marriage for 3 years, but she couldn't conceive a child. Her husband tragically dies and now the family... Her sister-in-laws and her parents don't want her anymore because they're poor and they just can't afford this barren woman in their family. So they pack up some money, give her an address of Fanto, who's in the second story, and send her off on one of these horrendous ship transports to a life in Europe. So that doesn't work out because she uses her brain not to get on this ship. But things get worse and worse and worse. And the funny thing is she has this wonderful inner self-belief, but it hardly matters because life and fate is so stacked against her. But the counterpoint in that does in some way, again, give a kind of either spiritual or hopeful dimension to in a kind of holistic but not too squeaky clean.
What did you think of this book in total then? What do you think of the voice that you encountered here from Marina Dyer?
I think it's a really original voice. I think the middle character, the Rudy character, is a kind of Travis Binkle, you know, from Taxi Driver. He is crazed. And the way she writes it, it builds and builds and builds. And then at the end, she actually deflates it. So it's a wonderful construction, and the way she writes is wonderfully done. Equally, I thought in the first story it disguised an awful lot until you get a great payoff near the very end in the story between the father and Sonny. I think it's a real contender. I think she's a great
writer.
Do you
think she could win?
I think she could. Yeah.
Why?
Because I think it's such original material. It's this link between Africa and France. It's these women, it's the irony of this women's life presented as these strong women, but can you really escape these old patriarchal, you know, pressures? And I think the last story is such an eye into a world of these people who are at the end of hope, trying to get from Africa to Europe. That's why I think it's so original and so powerful.
Kay Sheehy has been reading Three Strong Women, which was written by Maureen and Daya and published by Macclehose Press.